Nobody can turn you into a slave unless you allow them. Nobody can make you afraid of anything unless you allow them. Nobody can tell you to do something wrong unless you allow them. God never created you to be a slave. Man did. God never created division or set up any borders between brothers. Man did. God never told you to hurt or kill one another. Man did. So why is man your God and not the Creator? And this week's opening quote comes from Susie Kassem. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. You know, I've been coming onto these shows for 9 years now, and almost 10 years I've been doing Surviving the Matrix, and I've been attempting to calmly and quietly help people wake up to the fact that we're living in a slavery system, that we need to do something about it. I like to think that there's a degree of wakefulness occurring in the human species. I really do. It's good to think that, and it's good to feel that way. It keeps you positive. But when I look around, you know, I really have to wonder, I've really got to question whether this wakefulness is really happening. Even among the truth community, among the independent media. As I keep saying, there's so much infighting and division, but it isn't just the infighting and division. It's, to a great degree, things that people just take for granted in their daily lives. Now, last week I was talking to you about the 5G system, the way this is all being rolled out. And it's really being rolled out in leaps and bounds, folks. They're putting towers all around Sydney now. I think it's Sydney, might be Melbourne, but I think it's Sydney in Australia. They're putting 5G towers all around the place. New smart towers, they're saying, which are going to improve the internet and all of this sort of stuff. And this is basically this 5G weapon system that I was talking to you about last week. And sure, it may not be used as a weapon system all the time, but it has the potential to be used as a weapon system. And when you look at how this smart world is being rolled out and we're being kind of sucked into it, whether we want to be sucked into it or not, it's a very, very disturbing future that is unfolding. And it's unfolding very, very quickly, folks. It really is. And people simply aren't paying attention to it. And even if they are, even if they're aware of it happening, the problem is that they're all participating in it. You know, even if they're complaining about the system, they're continuing to use all of this stuff. They're continuing to shop with credit cards. They're continuing to use all of this automated stuff that's being put in place, and they're continuing to buy all of these smart devices. And that's really the problem, folks, because the smart system itself is the slavery system. And that's where we're going. We're being led into it. And you've got a company now in Sweden that are also trialing microchips on trains because it's very bad. People forget to print their tickets or their phone battery dies or blah, blah, blah. And it's just so much easier to have a microchip. So some of the more stupid Swedish people are opting for this microchip simply so they can ride public transport more conveniently. And of course, that's the way it's starting off, folks. But once you've got the microchip, they'll just be saying, well, you know, now that it's in there, you may as well add your wallet to it and add all your finances to it, and you can open your car with it, and we can just add all this other stuff and put all this other data on the microchip, because here's a handy little app you can put on your mobile phone which allows you to access a microchip and put data on there and take data off. So pay attention to that, folks. This is a readable, writable microchip, which means it can have data put on it. It's programmable from an external source. So one might question how programmable it is from a nearby 5G tower and who might be putting that programming into it. This is a readable, writable microchip that people are being encouraged to put into their body for the convenience of being able to use public transport with relative ease. This is absolutely ridiculous. And even the people who are promoting this are saying, well, getting this microchip is nothing different to what you're doing now by using your credit card to pay for your tickets or to go shopping. And really, I mean, are they serious? I mean, this is a microchip under your skin, ladies and gentlemen. This is vastly different to using your credit card to go shopping. And the potential for abuse of this technology is quite literally off the charts, but they're saying, oh no, it's really worth the risk. I mean, I suppose they are responsible enough to at least use the word risk. And they're using this as a way to promote the technology. But really, when you look a little bit deeper, you can see why they are using it as a means to promote this technology, because people are using their credit cards and everything now to go shopping. And they're right, folks. There's nothing really different about it, except that it's an implant under your skin. So, of course, that's different. But ultimately, the technology is the same. It's just this same microchip technology. You've got a microchip in your credit card. That's what you're using to go shopping. They're just making it more convenient for this to now be under your skin. And it's going to start off consensual, but it's not going to end up that way if people don't stand up and do something about it. And the way to stand up and do something about it now is to stop using your credit cards and stop using all this automated rubbish that they're rolling out, folks. I've been saying this for years. I mean, I don't use credit cards to go shopping. I don't use any of the automated stuff. And if I have to use it, I complain about it. I make a noise about it. I let them know that I'm not happy with supporting organized crime, because that's what this is. This is all supporting organized crime and government corruption. That's what this whole automated system is. And the problem is that people are continuing to use it and they're participating in it. So, you know, how much awakening is there? Well, people are going to continue to be led down this path, because, like I said, it'll start off consensual, but it won't end up that way. It'll end up mandatory. It'll end up in a situation where you can't use the train if you don't have a microchip. You can't access your funds if you don't have a microchip. And something else that's kind of disturbing about this, and something that's been in the back of my mind for a while, I mean, as much as I like to support any breakaway from the central banking system, there's always been something strange to me about this whole digital currency, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency thing. And as much as, like I said, I support breaking away from the banking system, I support what Bitcoin is apparently supposed to represent, but I've always been a little bit concerned about it. I mean, because ultimately it is a digital currency. And something else they're promoting, even with this introduction of microchips in Sweden for train fares, one of the things they're using to promote it and to make it seem so user-friendly is they're saying that it's also being used to open digital wallets and Bitcoin. So that's kind of interesting, folks. You can get a microchip so that you can access your Bitcoin wallet. This is very, very sus, ladies and gentlemen. But this is where it's going. And it's going that way because we're not paying attention. Or if we are paying attention, we're not really doing anything about it, because we're continuing to use this digital system. And once it's rolled out, folks, and it's rolled out, and you can complain about the government all you want, if you're going to use the government's control system, which is what all of this digital currency and digital mechanism and so-called Internet of Things, this digital everything is, then you're just ignoring the obvious that is right in front of your face and right under your nose. You know, all this is leading towards transhumanism, folks, as I keep saying. That's where it's all going. You know, the microchipping, the merging of human consciousness with AI, this is where it's going. This is where they're taking us. You know, Facebook is actually working on an algorithm now whereby people will be able to type by thought. That's what they're doing, folks. They were doing it with games a few years ago. There were games that came out, you could put on a headset and you could control the game by thought. I think they've worked out so now you can do it without the headset. I mean, you'd have to check up on that. I don't really research games that much, but they've been working on these sorts of neural links for a while through neural dust and all sorts of things. And who knows where they're putting this neural dust? Perhaps they're putting it in the food. Perhaps this is what's in the chemtrails. I would suggest that it is. But you can see where they're going with it, folks. You imagine being able to type to Facebook via thought. And when you combine this with some of the things I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, I did a show where I was talking about a free energy device, and I spoke to you about carbon fiber bones that have been created as well, 100 times stronger than steel, how these are going to be used for bone replacements in people. But what's it really about, folks? What it's really about, I would suggest, would be creating superhuman skeletal frames for transhumanist cyborgs, whatever they're going to create, that are going to be coming in the future. And they're talking about the transference of consciousness, and they're talking about the fact that they can already do this. I mean, if you look at some of the research that Elon Musk has been presenting to the world, he's been saying, well, we're on the verge of being able to do this now. We just have to work out the correct interface and the right sort of link up. And folks, if they're telling you that they're on the verge of being able to do it soon, then it means they can already do it, because we are always years and years and years and years behind what they've really got going on behind the scenes. They've got stuff going on behind the scenes that we never hear about and we'll never know about. And that's just the way it is. You know, we won't ever know about it until we find some way of establishing freedom, if we can never get the focus to do that. That's the problem. But this is the way it's going, folks. We're being dragged into this transhumanist reality without even being given a choice in the matter. And as much as we complain about it, the people that are trying to alert others to the fact that it's happening are still using all of these smart devices and are still participating in this system. Everyone's just going along with it through their passive acceptance of it, and it's being rolled out right under their noses, and we've got a very, very short window to turn this around. You know, we're constantly squabbling about all of these external issues, bashing each other over the head over all these different wars and who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, whether Trump's going to save us, whether Corbyn's going to save us, whether it's the Jesuits or the Jews or the Illuminati or whatever it is, whether the earth's round or flat or whatever anybody wants to argue about. Just get out there and argue, folks. That's what they want. But very few people are really looking at what's going on right under their noses, and very few people are seeing this digital system for what it is. Everybody is participating in it. Everybody is continuing to use it. And soon it's just going to be all locked down, and there's not going to be very much we can do about it. You look at some of the advances on neural dust and some of the stuff they're doing as well, folks, smart dust, the stuff that's in the chemtrails. And they talk about this, folks, this whole neural net that they want to roll out, this 5G grid that they want to roll out. They talk about rolling out this neural net by around about 2020, and that's about when the 5G grid is also due to come online. You know, you can see where all of this is going, folks, and we have a very, very short window to turn it around. And one of the most important things that we can do at the moment from where we stand is to stop participating in this smart system. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people aren't going to do it. A lot of people out there are simply turning into zombies. They really are. You go out in the street and look around, people are walking around like they've just got a glaze over their eyes. They're all looking and staring at their mobile phones. It's very hard to get interaction with people the way you used to. So not everybody's going to get it. Not everybody's going to wake up. And there's even a possibility of the species splitting very soon into the technological haves and the technological have-nots or want-nots. And that's really the problem, because it isn't a matter that you don't want technology, you just don't want the technology to go in the direction that it's going, to be run by these criminal psychopath eugenicists, which is what's going on. You know, and when this is going on, folks, well, how much wakefulness is there? How much wakefulness are we really seeing? And how many people out there that listen to these shows and listen to other people's shows and listen to the independent media in general and see what's going on? How many people are actually doing something about it by not participating in the system and not supporting the growth of this technology and the takeover of this technology? I mean, that's the thing, folks. You know, if you're still supporting it, then why are you complaining about it? And what you've got to do, unfortunately, is stop using some of the conveniences that are being laid out before you. And most importantly, stop using your credit card and stop using anything that's becoming automated. Tell them that you won't use their company unless you can interact with a human being. It's as simple as that. And what else can you do, folks? Well, you know, many people are only really affected by their wallets, and they're only really affected by what they perceive is this legal system. You know, a lot of people think that the Matrix is real, so perhaps there's elements within the Matrix that we can use to wake people up, and it turns out that there is. There's a friend of mine who's been looking into his life insurance. He's actually got life insurance with Lloyd's of London, and he's found out that Lloyd's of London will not insure him against electromagnetic pollution. They won't insure him against cancers or anything like that, any type of illnesses that he gets because of electromagnetic radiation. There's all sorts of studies that show that this 5G network is very bad for electromagnetic pollution, folks. It's very bad for people's health. And so the rollout of this 5G network is effectively going to invalidate his life insurance. So if you're someone who's got life insurance, or you know someone who does have life insurance, get them to look at the studies on 5G and get them to ask their insurance company if their insurance company is prepared to cover damage from the 5G network. And if that insurance company is not prepared to do so, then the government is effectively invalidating their insurance policy, and this is something that they need to question the government about. It's something everybody needs to question the government about. And if the insurance companies are not prepared to insure against this, then that would indicate that this is going to be very, very prevalent in our societies, folks. So This is a mechanism that exists within the matrix that we can use to perhaps wake people up to what is being rolled out all around them. So perhaps that's a pathway that you can go down. I mean, it's something that you can do, perhaps a letterbox drop, perhaps just a little public gathering, perhaps a newsletter, perhaps a letter to the editor in your local paper, perhaps a phone call to a talk radio station. Anything like that in your local area will alert people to the fact that this 5G electromagnetic network is very likely going to invalidate all of their life insurance policies. Perhaps that's something we can use. I mean, it's not going to work. You're not going to get any sort of legal action taken against them or anything like that, but it might be something that would at least wake up these sleeping masses to the fact that there's something terribly wrong, something to make them question their reality a little bit, just something to make them think about this. I mean, it's not the answer, folks, but it's at least one spanner we can throw in the works, and that's what we've got to do, throw as many spanners in the works as we can, slow this rollout down as much as possible, and alert people to the fact that this is very dangerous for them, but do it in a manner that they can relate to, something that they can see will affect their everyday lives. It's the most easiest way to get to people, most especially if this is going to affect their hip pockets, and that's what this is going to do if they are someone with life insurance. So yeah, it's a start. It's one pathway anyway. It's something you can do in your local area, and at least you will be doing something. I mean, everybody writes to me and says, what can I do? What's some little thing I can do in my area? Well, this is a question that you can ask people, and it's an issue that you can alert them to. I mean, there's so many issues that we face, folks. There really is. And I really believe that a lot of the stuff is put there just to keep us fighting amongst ourselves and to keep us distracted. Like, we've got so many issues to face. You know, we're being attacked on so many fronts. You know, not just the war of terror and, you know, all the anti-war protests and everyone trying to deal with government corruption and systemic corruption and all the stuff that's created all these wars. It's not only that. You know, all of the things they're doing, folks, the environmental pollution, the way they bring these laws in incrementally in each community, so you're always complaining about something. You know, there's always something happening which is affecting your life in some negative way, and it's coming from so many directions that who knows what to deal with. And I really believe that they do this just to keep us from noticing that which is going on right under our noses, such as this 5G network. You know, we're so intent on dealing with our environment and all of the external stuff that we're not seeing what is happening really, really close to home in our own communities. And even saying that, I mean, sure, in our own communities, such as the rollout of these 5G boxes, but really what's happening in our own lives, it's this convenience reality that we've been immersed into, the way we've allowed ourselves to be led into this digital world, the way everybody's walking around looking at their mobile phones. Everyone's using apps to do everyday things now. Everyone's immersed into this world and they can't seem to escape from it. Now, a lot of people can't imagine what life would be like without their mobile phone. They can't imagine what it would be like without their computer, without all of this digital stuff that they've gotten so used to. And none of it's real. None of it exists in the real world. It's all a virtual world. And they're leading all human reality into this virtual world. You know, they're leading all your wealth, which used to be gold and silver and then turned into paper fiat currency, is now turning into digital credits on a screen which will disappear as soon as the electricity goes out. I mean, what's that? What sort of a world is that, folks? But that is the world that we have been led into, and we're continuing to be led into because we're participating in it every day. You know, it's our unwillingness to give this up, and it's something that isn't real. So why is it so hard to give up? That's the question. I mean, it's not human. It's not life. It's not tangible. It's not something you can pick up and touch. It's not something you can eat, not something you can breathe. It's not anything that actually exists. It just all exists in a virtual world, and we're transferring every aspect of our lives into this virtual world. And like I said, folks, it's all leading towards transhumanism, but it's all leading towards this really bizarre future that these people want to create. You're looking at things like programmable matter. You know, if you tie this in with what I was talking about before, the bones being created from nanocarbon and, you know, the superhuman skeletal structures they're capable of creating. You look at programmable matter and what they can do with that, and you think about the fact that we're all breathing and eating nanotechnology. There's this whole smart grid being put in place. What's in this nanotechnology? If you look at programmable matter and some of the advances they've made with programmable matter, the goal was to reduce it to the nanoscale. So what's going on with us? You look at this smart grid that's been put in place, folks, this 5G grid, programmable matter. People are breathing this stuff in. Where are we going? Where are they taking us? You look at the neural net that they're talking about, and when Elon Musk talks about this, as I said, they are talking about it, and they are saying that they have found a way of doing this and transferring consciousness. They just have to perfect the interface. But when you look at this, folks, what they're saying is that it's going to create a symbiote. He even uses the word symbiote. It's going to create a symbiotic relationship between the human being and the AI. This is a merging of man with machine, and not just a neural merging, but also a biological merging of man with machine. And while this is happening, it's immersing the mind of the person, the mind, the human mind of the subject or participant or victim, I would suggest. It's immersing this mind into a hive mind, into a neural network which everybody will be connected to and which will be controlled by AI. Now, what sort of a reality does that sound like, folks? That's a reality that we are not going to want to participate in. But not only that, the thing is that even those who do not want to be part of this neural network will be part of this neural network through the nanotech, the programmable matter that they've been breathing, and the 5G network that's been put in place. And what will the police look like in this new world, folks? Well, I would suggest that that will be who will be getting these superhuman bones and all of the stuff that they're bringing online with all of this nanocarbon bone fiber that they're constructing. This is a creation of a group of beings that are going to be like Terminator, only they're going to be able to think as clearly as humans. And they're going to be very, very powerful. And how are real human beings ever going to be able to compete against these type of creations in a world that is economically based? That's the way it's going, folks. It's going to be a unbelievably bad reality if we allow those who are controlling the system to roll this out. And if it continues and it does get rolled out, then the kids growing up into this system, the kids growing up in the future, are not going to have any reference point for what freedom once looked like or what freedom may have looked like. They're not going to have any reference point to know what humanity once was. They're just not going to know, folks. They're not going to know what it's like to think independently. They're not going to know what it's like to have their own creative potential and to be able to experience that, to experience the world the way it really is. None of this is going to happen for the generations that are coming up if we allow this system to come online. And the thing is that it's coming online now. It's coming online through our passive acceptance of this convenience society. But how do you alert people to this? Because like I said, what's going on, and apart from all the division and all the fighting that we've got in the independent media and everybody arguing amongst themselves, it's people's failure to pay attention and their passive acceptance of all this is creating the problem. But really, it's not just acceptance. It's not just people's compliance to the system. It's everything. It's the distrust that we see that is spread so rampantly amongst the truth community, independent media now. And it's also the memes that have infected people's minds. The meme of fear porn, for example. I mean, there's been a lot of people out there that have been promoting fear porn, such as Alex Jones has been selling fear porn for years. He's made a fortune out of it. But it's got to the point now that if you bring a clear and present danger into the minds of people, they see it as fear porn. You can't talk about the truth anymore. You've got to talk about how we're all heading for this wonderful enlightened future, when if you look around you, you really don't see that. I mean, I see the potential for a wonderful and enlightened future, but I can also see the reality that it's not going to happen unless people participate in creating that future. And that's one of the real problems, folks, is that people just don't want to look at the dark side. They don't want to really see what's happening. And when they do see it, they want to wait for an external savior to come along. You know, they believe that Christ is coming or whatever, something's going to happen. You know, a lot of the Christians, I mean, there's a lot of Christians out there that are very, very awake, folks. They really are. There's a lot of people that have been warning us that the New World Order is coming for a very long time, a lot of Christian people. But unfortunately, they're in this state of inaction because they believe that they're going to be saved without having to participate themselves. And I find that very unfortunate. Now, I really do sympathize with a lot of Christians, and I really do agree with a lot of what they say. We just differ in the opinion of who is going to be responsible for sealing our future. They feel that it has to be Christ, and I feel that it has to be us. And that's really the only difference, I think, with a lot of the views that I have with these people. A lot of them are very good people. But there's so much distraction, folks, and there's so much that's keeping us apart. But the real issue is that even if we weren't being kept apart, the thing that many of them, I believe, are failing to see is that they are still participating in the system. They all talk about the beast system that's coming. That's what many Christians believe the microchip to be. It's the mark of the beast. But they don't realize that they're already using the mark of the beast every time they use their credit card. You know, it's their participation in that system. If they want to sit there and wait for the world to get all bad, well, it's going to get bad, but they could stop using their credit cards now. They could stop participating in that system now and withdraw support from it, and it couldn't come online. It's as simple as that. That's the thing they're not looking at. They're just waiting for it to come online and sitting back in fear and waiting for it to get all terrible. And unfortunately, there's the belief in there that it's okay for them to do that, because if it does get all terrible, Jesus is going to come and save them. A lot of people, it's kind of like a love-hate relationship. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians inside want Armageddon to come. They want the big apocalypse to happen. They want the big war at the end of times, because they believe Christ is going to come and save them after it. They don't realize that this war could actually be averted, and we could end up in a golden age. We could end up in a place of absolute paradise, a place that this world was created to begin with, I would imagine. Whatever this world comes from, I mean, I think it has the potential to be very, very wonderful were we only to pay attention to that. And I think it's our failure to do so that keeps it all going, folks. But, you know, even these people could stop using this system. They could stop participating in it now. If people stop participating in it, then it can't come online. It can't lead us to what this inevitable conclusion is going to be. And really, when you step back, folks, like I say, you look at this whole transhumanist agenda, look at some of the stuff that's been put out there by Ray Kurzweil, by Elon Musk, look at the predictive programming we've been subject to over the years, look at the creation of these nanocarbon fiber bones and all the stuff that's being brought out into the public domain. And they've been working on this for years and years and years, folks. You know, there were people trying brain transplants and head transplants back in the 50s and 60s. So things have been rolling out in this direction for a very long time, folks. But what they really want to do is transfer consciousness into AI, and they're pretty well there. They're pretty well at the point they can do it. They've just got to find a way of creating public acceptance of this happening. And if the public aren't prepared to accept it, well, they'll just trick them into it. And that's what's happening. And I think it's quite important that people wake up to this. I really do. It's not a very good future that we're allowing to be rolled out in front of us, folks. And the only people who can stop it is us. You know, it's our generation that has to turn this around, because, as I said earlier, the kids aren't going to be able to, because they're not going to have any reference point for what freedom actually looks like. So it's up to us to do it. And the window of opportunity for that to happen is closing very quickly. So I would suggest people pay attention while they still can. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've certainly got a lot to deal with. We do. We've got this whole 5G grid being rolled out, and we've got the enormous amount of distrust we're facing as well in this resistance. And we do have to get a little bit of trust back in this resistance. We've got to get a little bit of trust and a little bit of focus in this resistance, and be careful where we're being led. We really do. There's been an enormous amount of infiltrators into this movement in the last year or two, and it's been very sad to see. A lot of agents have come into play and have led people in the wrong direction. Of course, they've been able to do this with good information, right information, that they then muddy and bury beneath false information so people throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's a common ploy, and it's what's happened very much to the independent media in the last year. A lot of good information being brought to people, but being polluted by bad information, and just a lot of plants that have come into the movement as well. The recent debacle with George Webb has been quite interesting to watch unfold. I actually haven't been watching George's videos past about a day, 130, I think I stopped watching, because it seemed like there was a lot of misdirection in there. I remember mentioning at the Free Your Mind conference in April that I suspected George Webb to be Mossad, and then he announced later that he is Mossad, or at least old Mossad, and there's been a lot of very disturbing stuff that's come out recently. So I think there's been a huge play there. I actually caught an interview on the SGT report with Liz Croken the other day, and Sean had a clip in there of George Webb talking about how New Mossad has basically gone overboard with the child trafficking, and it was really better the way old Mossad did it when they just harvested a few people. And this statement by George Webb is very, very disturbing, folks, and it would indicate that it is actually Mossad that is behind most of the global child trafficking. And this is something that I've been saying for years, and it seems that he's let that slip a little bit with that statement. I'll link to that interview below in the description of this on the YouTube version of this show. That's on the SGT Report YouTube channel. That's one of the few news sources that I do recommend to people as well, folks. A lot of people write to me and they ask me, who can you recommend that I listen to? Because there's so much misinformation out there. What are the reputable news sources? I think that Sean gets a lot of stuff right with the SGT report. I think he puts out some good reports. Truthstream Media on YouTube also puts out a lot of good information. You'll find a lot of channels do, folks. Richie from Boston gets a lot of good reports that come across his desk that he puts out as well. Richie's a Christian. I'm not a Christian. We agree to disagree on that, but he puts out a lot of good stuff. A lot of really bizarre ideas, folks, but still, it's good stuff, and he doesn't have a problem admitting when he's wrong. Same with Sean. He doesn't have a problem admitting when he's wrong, and that's very important to notice, folks, and there are people that do put out good information. I think Patrick Hennington puts out some good stuff on 21st Century Wire as well. My dear friend Ule Damegaard from Light on Conspiracies does some wonderful work on false flag terrorism and on the crisis actor companies and all the people that are used and the way all of this is put together. He's actually very good at predicting where these new events are going to be. I recommend checking out his work. I'm actually going to go and see him next week when I'm in Spain, so that'll be good. I might even get a chance to do an interview with him for maybe next week's show or the week after. Citizens for Legitimate Government is another news site you can just get information from. You can get a weekly report from, and it'll just link you to news articles, and you can read them and go and make your own mind up. But ultimately, folks, what I think you really need to do is watch the mainstream and just read between the lines like many of us do, because that's really the best source of information, is what these people are not saying. And I just have to leave it to you to discern the disinformation channels on YouTube, the COINTEL channels. There's a lot of channels out there that are presenting truthful information to you, but they're also presenting really, really bizarre conspiracy theories to you at the same time and on the same channels. You've just got to read between the lines, folks, and realize that once you start seeing really bizarre reports come out from a channel that you know has been putting out very truthful reports, this is very likely a COINTEL channel, and that is a classic COINTEL method, is to muddy real information with bad information. You know, if you've got one conspiracy that you really don't want the people to know about, then you put out information about five or six non-existent conspiracies all around it and all at the same time. So it keeps people going down all these rabbit holes that lead nowhere, and it's all to cover up the one conspiracy that was put out at the same time. There's a lot of channels that do this. Now, I'm not one to want to spread bad word about people. I'm not one to want to hack anybody else down. I've never named other channels or any of this sort of stuff. I don't wish to have fights or animosity with anybody. And so I'm not going to be naming any channels that I think are COINTEL. I just have to hope that you have the discernment to be able to figure these things out for yourself. Just watch any channels that are giving you bizarre conspiracy theories along with what you know to be truth, because that is a classic COINTEL sidestep. So yeah, anyway, that's just a few recommendations of sites, folks. I mean, there's a lot of sites out there you can get information from. I've got whole lists of sites that I go to, but they're just a few places around YouTube and around the general area that I feel can be seen as trusted sources. At least you've got real people giving you real information and doing what they can to get it right. And that's a good sign, because that's really the best anybody can do. But anyway, getting back on topic, that interview with Liz Croken on the SGT report is something I would recommend watching, and I will link to that in the video description below on the YouTube version of this radio show. It's been also interesting to watch the moves that Donald Trump has been making. Donald Trump does actually appear to be making a pretty concerted effort to bring down the pedophile elite. It seems that that is what the recent shooting of a Republican senator was all about. This seems to be related to Pettigate, so keeping a close eye on that as well. But again, there's so much distraction happening, folks, and so much division and so much distrust. And while all this is happening, this whole electronic grid is still being rolled out beneath it. That's the thing, you see. Like, when you look at this whole electronic system, it isn't really the governments that are rolling it out. You've got to understand what the governments are. The governments are figureheads. These are mouthpieces for the corporate entity. This is why Trump's having such a hard time getting anything done. And I still don't know whether I trust Trump. I mean, he's sure doing a lot of good stuff to bring down this pedophile elite, but at the same time, he's falling over himself to capitulate to Israel. Maybe that's a strategy. Who knows? Maybe he has to do that so he can keep himself in power. Who knows? But there are so many witch hunts directed at him at the moment. The amount of witch hunts that are directed at him really does actually give him a little bit of credibility. Because the mainstream media and the entire political system, not just the Democrats, but there's many sources within the Republicans as well that don't seem to like this man. A lot of people seem to want to get him out of power. And if he's going after the high-level pedophiles, then it's very understandable why they would feel that way. It's also very understandable why the media wouldn't be reporting this, because many high-level pedophiles are actually operating within the mainstream media. But again, when looking at all of this, you can see behind it is this whole smart system still being rolled out. And this just seems to be going ahead like it has its own mind. It's not really being directed by government or directed by anyone that you'd think would be in power. It's just this thing that is happening, you know, this scientific reality that's going on in the background that's gradually sort of putting this net out that is encompassing everything else. Now, you'll find agencies like DARPA and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Rockefeller Foundation, you'd find these sorts of organizations are who is behind this neural rollout and this smart rollout. It isn't really the government that's doing it. The government is simply the facade that people look at, simply the puppet show that the people have got to try to find their way through the system. And really, it's just a puppet show, as you can see by Trump having so much difficulty getting anything he wants to get done actually done. It certainly does seem like there's a lot of people who would like to impeach Donald Trump, though. Of course, this is very predictable, folks. We knew this was going to happen. We spoke about this way back in the beginning when he was first elected, that it was very likely he would get impeached for some reason. And it seems that that is well on the cards. People are certainly pushing it in that direction. I mean, whether it'll happen or not, that is another question, because what do they have on him, really? They don't really have anything on him. This whole question of collusion with Russia is completely contrived. It's just a witch hunt that is going to lead nowhere. All of the allegations of rape and all this is just a witch hunt that will lead nowhere. There really isn't anything, any dirt at all, that they've got on Donald Trump, except for his tweet where he happened to mention the travel ban being a travel ban when he'd said it wasn't a travel ban. But that's not really a big issue that they can use to impeach a president. Not when you look at what past presidents have gotten away with. I don't really think that they've got anything to go on. The only thing that is really going to succeed in impeaching him will be if the media can create enough theater around it to convince the public that this should happen. But there's no real reason for it to happen. There's no legal reason for Donald Trump to be impeached. But there are certainly people that are pushing towards it. And as I said, this is something that we have expected since the beginning. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. And I think we're going to see more of this sort of stuff, folks. You know, the circus surrounding Donald Trump and the debacle that we've seen with George Webb's research, what that has turned into, which is a complete circus and a complete sideshow. I think we're going to see more and more of this type of stuff just to keep people guessing, to keep people distracted, to keep people not knowing what's going on, keep them trying to guess which way is up, and keep them fighting amongst themselves while this whole 5G thing is rolled out. You know, they only have to keep us occupied for the next 3 to 5 years, folks, and this whole thing will be online pretty well. You know, the AI might not have taken over by then, but the whole grid will be online in 3 to 5 years if people don't pay attention to it. And the more stuff they can put out there to keep people fighting and arguing and keep people distracted by the political circus, then the more they're going to do it, I think. I think that's what a lot of this is about. Just keep people guessing and keep people distracted and keep people from paying attention to what is going on in their everyday lives. And really, that's always been the number one name of the game, folks, distraction. That's what the media's main game is. That's what the government's main game is. Just keep people distracted so they do not notice what is going on around them. And the really disturbing thing is that there are very, very few people that are talking about this electromagnetic system. There are very, very few people that are talking about this electromagnetic control grid. And I don't think this is because people are attempting to cover it up. I think people simply aren't noticing it. They're just taking too much of this stuff in their daily lives for granted, and they're not really seeing where it's leading to. There's not enough people connecting the dots between the nanotechnology and the chemtrails and the smart grid, because it's all connected, ladies and gentlemen. And really, like I said, that's why I think they're ramping things up so much in the world now. They're making sure that there's so much to deal with, because this whole system is being rolled out around us. And you look at these towers that they're installing in Australia. I mean, these look like something out of Terminator. They do. They look like something out of some bizarre future where you're living in an electromagnetic prison system. I mean, these have LED lights on them as well. So you've got LED street lighting, which is also a smart tower. This sounds very, very sus, folks. This is like some weird dystopian future that you'd see in some bizarre science fiction movie. Now, Equilibrium or something. And the thing is, you know, when this smart system is rolled out, it's going to exert control, which is unprecedented in the human condition. It really is. It's going to control us in so many ways, folks. And it's going to have access to the most personal details of all of our lives. And not only our lives, but also possibly our minds and possibly access to our bodies as well. If people start getting these smart devices on their bodies, i.e. microchip implants, or even smart contact lenses and things. And that might sound a bit strange, folks, smart contact lenses, but I actually have a friend who's working for a company called Novaris, which is a medical organization, scientific medical research, but it's partnered with Google, as you do when you're a medical company. So what's Google doing involved in this? What this company, Novaris, one of its subsidiary companies, whose name escapes me at the moment, is actually working on smart contact lenses, which will deliver people their dose of insulin every day. Think about this, folks. This is a contact lens which contains enough medication to be able to deliver a dose of insulin to someone. And presumably this isn't a one-off dose. Presumably this is a timed dose. So the smart contact lens knows when the patient needs their insulin, and so it releases a certain amount into the eyeballs at a certain time. So presumably these contact lenses can contain multiple doses of particular medications. So what other types of medications could they put in these smart contact lenses? And how might these medications be activated by the 5G smart towers? You've got to really look at where they could take this, folks, and what sort of abuses this technology paves the way for. Like I said earlier, the possibility for abuse of all this technology is quite literally off the charts, folks. I mean, you go and buy a set of contacts and you don't know whether these contacts contain some type of medication which may cause you to think or act in a certain way. Be a great way to set up Manchurian candidates, wouldn't it? Great way to give people hallucinogenic experiences so they think they're going mad and lock them into hospitals. I mean, the possibilities are endless. What you can do with this sort of technology, folks. Smart contact lenses being developed by a company that is affiliated with Google. Think about that. So you ask why we are seeing so much theatre in the world, why we are seeing such complete political theatrics right across the Western world, in all of our political systems, folks, and so many issues, all of this terrorism on the ground, all of this stuff that's going on in Europe, everybody's fear of Muslims, everybody's fear of everything. It's absolutely outrageous, and everybody is caught up in identity politics and all squabbling left and right and this and that. It's incredible, folks. The amount of distractions that we've got and the amount of infighting within the resistance, it's absolutely outrageous. And while this is happening, as I said, all of this is being rolled out right beneath us, right in front of our noses. The entire 5G system, and what will it be by the time it comes out? It'll probably be 6G. And then they'll be able to go, oh, look, see, you said that the 5G system was going to do all this stuff and it didn't, and now we've gone to 6G. Yeah, well, it probably will go to 6G, probably go to 7G. God knows how high it will be by the time they get the whole thing online properly. But where it's going, folks, is where it's going. And when you look at the mainstream, you look at MIT, look at the reports coming out in mainstream science journals, it all points towards this same agenda. You look at the DARPA agenda for neural dust. And what's DARPA doing involved in neural dust? This is a defense organization, a defense contractor. What are they doing involved in neural dust? Why do they want to map the human brain? Why do they want to be able to monitor people's thoughts? And that's what all of this stuff can do. And the technology that we're aware of, as I keep saying, folks, this is stuff that is in the mainstream, and this is not really what they've got. I mean, they've got stuff which is way, way in advance of what we have. I mean, look at the stealth bomber. They had the stealth bomber back in the 1970s, and we didn't even find out about it until the Gulf War. So, you know, they've got this technology hidden from us, and that's a stealth bomber that they had hidden from us, folks. That's pretty big. You think about the nanotech and some of the stuff that they've got hidden from us in labs. We don't have any idea how advanced these people really are with these programs. And it's all out there in the mainstream. And now you see these towers being put up around Australia. You see these 5G grid boxes being put up around everywhere. And like I said, they're being put up at street level. These aren't a communication device, folks. But why is there so many of them? Why is this 5G system needs so many relay boxes? These aren't like the normal mobile phone towers that you see that project long distances. These are all ground level. These are all communicating with each other. This is an entirely different system, folks. And nobody's noticing it because of all of the theater that we're being subject to at the moment, all the social theater, the political theater, the theaters of war, everything, folks. There's so much stuff coming at us from so many directions, and people simply aren't seeing the forest for the trees. I mean, a lot of people are. And a lot of people are addressing a lot of really important issues, and it's important that all these issues are addressed. But it's also, I believe, extremely important that people pay attention to what's going on around them at the same time. You know, we have to stop this being rolled out, folks, because once this gets rolled out, it's going to be very, very difficult to roll it back. And once this does come online, then it's really going to lock us down. It's going to prevent us from being able to do the type of research that we can do now. It's going to prevent us from being able to present the type of information that we're presenting to people now. You know, it's going to constrain us in as much as it's going to lock us into a digital system where we simply don't have access to the things we need to function on a normal level unless we comply. And that's the problem. Those of us who won't comply will simply be cut off and will be left out in the cold, and that's the way it's going to be. And the way this society has been trying to discard anybody who rebels against the system, anybody who's seen as being below the poverty line, these are the scum of the earth, you don't want them, and all they have to do to put you below the poverty line is to blackjacket you, cut off your digital access to everything, and suddenly you can't buy food, you can't pay rent, you can't pay your bills, and because it's an economically based society, well, you're out in the cold. That's just the way it goes. And that's what they have the capability of doing once this system comes online, if people don't pay attention to what is happening. You know, I know we've got a lot of issues to deal with. We've got a lot of stuff on the ground. We've been deceived by so many people on so many levels in this truth movement, in this resistance. There's been such a mishmash of conspiracy theories just interjected into all of it to turn it into a sideshow. You know, every time we thought we've got some sort of a response and some sort of a valid point that we can push forward and maybe get some attention drawn to it, it gets distracted. It gets sidetracked into some other issue which is just designed to cause infighting and get people arguing amongst the details all the time rather than paying attention to the bigger picture. And we have to pay attention to the bigger picture, folks. We really do. You know, and really stepping back and looking at all this, folks, there's a lot of forces out there that are working for good at the moment as well. There really are. There's a lot of good things happening. There's a lot of bad stuff happening, but there's a lot of good stuff happening as well. You know, perhaps Trump is on the side of the people in some way. Perhaps I've been wrong about him. Who knows? If he turns out to do the right thing, well, hey, I'm happy to admit it, and that would be great to see. I can't help thinking that it's all theater, though. I can't help thinking that all this is a play. You know, if these elite pedophiles were going to be brought down and going to be arrested, I can't see why it can't just happen. Sure, the mainstream media isn't reporting it, and maybe there's deeper players going on and blah, 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 and people have got to be careful, and I know how it goes. But still, you know, It's just interesting to watch how it's unfolding. But I can't help thinking that so much of it is theatre. And even if Trump is on the side of the people, even if there is someone actually good in the White House for a change, well, we've still got to pay attention to what's going on behind the scenes. Perhaps Trump isn't even aware of this whole smart system and what it really is. Perhaps he has no idea about the whole neural network and everything that's being rolled out. Who knows what these people know? Who knows how distracted they are and how distracted everybody is in their own particular rabbit hole? You know, it's people who sit back and make blanket statements and judge everybody is bad or everybody is good and everything being black and white that is the problem. There are far, far deeper issues here. I think that everybody has a piece of the puzzle. I think that all things should be considered, but everything should be taken with a grain of salt, and you've really got to step back and put it all on the global stage. And the problem I find is that people won't stop fighting amongst each other long enough to be able to do that. You know, we never get a chance to examine anything properly, because as soon as anybody questions anything anybody else believes in, it turns into an argument, a mudslinging match, a series of ad hominem attacks or whatever. And we've just got to put all this stuff down and agree to disagree and engage in some respectful conversation. I think that would make all the difference to the problems that we're facing. It would make all the difference to the future that we're creating, because ultimately it's us that is creating this future. It's a collective thing. Please consider what I've said to you on the show today. Please consider the possibility of what this future is turning into. And please consider putting down some of the infighting that so many people are promoting on the internet these days. There are so many people that are spreading so much toxic energy, and we really do need some unity and we need some focus, folks. So please try to consider some of these things. And if it resonates with you, then please do share this information and share this radio show with people who you think may get some benefit from it. You know, I think we do have a way out of this mess, folks, if we can just get a little bit of focus. And we've got to put down all of this animosity and all of this infighting, and we've got to unite in respectful conversation and figure a way out of this mess and realize that there are no leaders coming. We have to lead ourselves. That's what this is all about. That's what it's always been about. And now's the time that we can do it. So let's get this focus, friends. I mean, I think that if we get this focus, we're going to find that freedom actually comes quite easy and quite naturally. But we're getting very close to the end of the show now, folks. I'd like to thank you for tuning in today and putting up with my somewhat convoluted rants that I seem to get into. I know I cover a lot of topics on the radio show. It's very difficult to get one topic and stay focused on it for an hour. I tend to just kind of ramble and go off on all these tangents, but hopefully you do find the shows informative, and hopefully it is some form of empowerment for you anyway. As I've often said, I think we need to know what these problems are in order to fix the problems. And that's what I attempt to do with the shows. And every time I bring you negative information, I do try to look for the silver lining in that information. And I do attempt to turn it into something empowering. I think that's what it's all about. You know, you've got to see the darkness before you can even have the dawn, I suppose. And that's what it's about, folks. I think enlightenment is a destructive process. It's a breaking down of everything we thought to be true. And I think that we're seeing some real enlightenment happen now, for even to those who don't particularly want to be enlightened. I think that the truth is becoming painfully obvious for many, many people, and many people are seeing how they've been led by so many forces, especially on the internet, and I think that there is some real light dawning on the horizon if we can get a little bit of focus. We're just about at the end of the show again, folks. It's been great having some time off here in Holland. It hasn't really been time off. I've been actually quite busy working on the film script. I've also been serving cumbo to a lot of people while I've been here in Holland, and that's been really good. I'm going to be back in Europe to speak at the Open Mind Conference in September in Denmark, so I look forward to catching up with anybody there who may be coming to that conference. I'll be back in LA and sort of bumping around the United States for July and August. I imagine that's where I sort of plan to be anyway. I don't really have anything planned at the moment except for working on the film. There's a chance that I might be doing a couple of small talks, and if that happens, I'll let you know. And I will also be doing a month of cumbo workshops in November on the Big Island in Hawaii. If anybody is thinking about participating in that, go and sign up for that. I'm sure it's going to be a great experience. But that is about it for me, folks. I'm not sure whether I'll get a show to you next week. I've got to travel down to Spain this week and then back to the United States very soon after, and I'm not sure whether I'll get a chance to record a show or not, but I'll try to get one out to you. If not, then I will get one out to you when I get back to the United States. I must admit, I am certainly looking forward to getting home and getting some stability. It does get a little tiring catching budget flights and couch surfing your way around the place, folks. But that's just the way life ends up sometimes. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time. Thank you to everybody who supports the website. Thank you to all those who support the Patreon account. I really could not continue to eat if it wasn't for you people. So I cannot thank you enough for the support that you show me. I'll be back on the air as soon as I'm able to do so. It may be next week, it may be the week after, but it will be as soon as I can, and I'll look forward to speaking to you then. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.